What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
After a sweeping elections bill was blocked in the Senate, what's next for reform efforts?
What we are seeing is a small group of Republicans and Democrats, some of the normal centrists that tend to work across the aisle, are re-engaging in talks about what maybe they can all agree on.
And is the hot housing market headed for a cool down? Plus, how celebrities and CEOs are finding success practicing gratitude. It's Thursday, January 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Labor Department says new unemployment claims jumped at the start of the year, rising by 55,000 last week to 286,000, the highest level since October. Economists expect the numbers to fluctuate in the coming weeks, with the recent surge in COVID-19 cases disrupting businesses. But few expect that to change the fundamentals of the labor market, where demand for workers remains high. New data shows U.S. home sales surged to a 15-year high in 2021, fueled by low interest rates and remote work. The National Association of Realtors said there were more than 6.1 million sales of existing homes last year, up 8.5% from a year earlier. But housing economists expect the frenzy to subside in 2022. Mortgage rates have risen to almost 3.6% in recent weeks, the highest level since March of 2020. U.S. stocks ended another day down on concerns about the Federal Reserve tightening monetary policy. The Nasdaq dropped 1.3% a day after falling into correction territory. The Dow lost more than 300 points, or 0.9%, and the S&P 500 fell 1.1%. After the bell, Netflix said it added 8.3 million subscribers to its platform in the latest quarter, boosted by hits including Don't Look Up and Cobra Kai. That was slightly lower than its own projections. Revenue rose 16% to more than $7.7 billion. Netflix shares fell more than 19% in early after-hours trading. A bipartisan antitrust bill that would prohibit the largest tech platforms from favoring their own products and services over competing ones has cleared a Senate panel and will now move to the full floor. Supporters, including smaller companies, say the bill would benefit consumers by increasing competition on dominant platforms. Amazon, Google parent Alphabet, Apple, and Facebook parent Meta have been fighting the bill, saying it could disrupt popular services for businesses and consumers. And the U.S. is allowing three Baltic NATO members, Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia, to send American-made anti-tank and air defense weapons to Ukraine. That's according to U.S. officials, who also say the Biden administration intends to provide five transport helicopters. The decisions come as fears mount that Russian forces could attack Ukraine. Russia has moved an estimated 100,000 troops to its border with Ukraine. It's also moved forces to neighboring Belarus. The U.S. and its allies remain far apart from Russia on de-escalating the situation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is set to meet with Russia's foreign minister on Friday. Coming up, after a broad elections bill failed in the Senate, where do efforts go from here?
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
President Biden and Democratic Party leaders have called voting access a top domestic policy priority. But their efforts to pass a sweeping elections bill were blocked by Republicans on Wednesday. And two Democrats joined all Republicans in rejecting an effort to change the Senate's filibuster procedures, effectively sinking the bill's chances. The elections package included provisions to make Election Day a national holiday and expand early and mail-in voting nationwide, among other changes. So what happens next? And how will this all impact the midterms later this year? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal politics reporter Eliza Collins. Hi, Eliza. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Eliza, what we saw on Wednesday night really speaks to a larger debate between Democrats and Republicans when it comes to elections. How are both sides looking at what happened?
Well, they really fundamentally disagree on the government's role in elections. I mean, that's the basis of this. Republicans feel that it's up to the states. Democrats see a role for the federal government. And so several states following the 2020 election have put in place more restrictive voting laws. Some of them have been through Republican legislatures in response to former President Trump's claims of a fraudulent election, which we have to always say. You know, there was many investigations. President Biden won this election, but states did put in place some restrictive voting laws. And so that's what Democrats point to when they say the federal government needs to get involved. Now, Republicans in Congress say that they are mischaracterizing what's happening. Some of these laws just make sense. And they disagree that the federal government should be involved. And they say that Democrats just want the federal government to be involved to make it easier for Democratic candidates to win. So it's basically both sides pointing at one another, accusing them of trying to pick elections that will make it easier for their side to win.
During a lengthy press conference on Wednesday, President Biden was asked if he believed the midterm elections would be conducted fairly and have a legitimate result, assuming that the elections legislation failed as it did. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not saying it's going to be legit. It's the increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed.
This statement is getting a lot of attention. Eliza, can you parse out what the president meant and what you're hearing in terms of criticism?
Yeah, so we'll start with the criticism of the statement of people who basically said that former President Trump has said that the 2020 election was illegitimate, and Democrats have spent a lot of time trying to convince people that it was, in fact, legitimate. And so for President Biden to be, as what these people took to mean, casting doubt on the 2022 election is very problematic. Now, the White House is out today with trying to basically play cleanup on this. The White House press secretary tweeted, you know, I'll read it exactly, because she said, let's be clear, POTUS was not casting doubt on the legitimacy of the 2022 election. He was making the opposite point. In 2020, a record number of voters turned out in the face of a pandemic, and election officials made sure they could vote and have those votes counted. She says that he would be explaining that if these states cast out or put in place some of these restrictions, that then it could be making the 2022 election illegitimate. But they did have to follow up on this. The vice president was on TV on Thursday trying to explain the president's comment as well.
Democrats had linked changes to the filibuster with this elections bill. Now that that path has been closed, what's the future of the elections legislation?
So of this sweeping bill that Democrats were trying to pass, the future is really uncertain. They needed to change the Senate rules in order to pass it with just Democratic support, and they weren't able to do that. And so they're vowing to keep fighting. Activists have said now it goes to the states. But there is no clear path for this bill. What we are seeing is a small group of Republicans and Democrats, some of the normal centrists that tend to work across the aisle, are re-engaging in talks about what maybe they can all agree on. So it's going to be much, much narrower if it passes at all. But one big thing that they are talking about is reforming the Electoral Count Act, which is a law from the 1800s that basically governs how Congress counts election results. And the reason this matters now is because on January 6th of last year, Congress and Vice President Mike Pence were receiving the electoral votes, and that's when we saw the pro-Trump mob come in and overrun the Capitol. So both sides in the Senate, at least, agree they don't want that to happen again. And so there is some support for at least looking at this law to reform it. Senator Susan Collins said Thursday that one thing they really wanted to make clear was the vice president's role, because we saw last year that former President Trump was trying to get former Vice President Mike Pence to overrule the election results, which he did not do. But again, we don't know if this is going to go anywhere. We don't know what reforms would actually look like. But there is a bipartisan group of about a dozen members who are going to be meeting on that in the coming days.
So let's talk a little bit more about the 2022 election. What are you hearing about what all of this means for the midterms?
So I will say that this fight got really nasty. And the Senate is a place, definitely more so than the House, where people do work together. Less than in the past, but there are some of those bipartisan relationships. We're seeing them with the conversations around the Electoral Count Act. But we saw real disagreement. And one thing Republicans were very upset about over this voting fight was President Biden's speech recently, where he really went hard in support of this legislation and basically said history would judge those who did not get on board with changing Senate rules to pass voting legislation. Now, in terms of going into 2022, there's unlikely to be a massive voting bill that Democrats can point to as a win. And their base really wanted that. There's a lot of frustration from the base because they thought that this was something Democrats would be able to do, and they were not. And so we'll see if they show up in 22, you know, based on this issue. Democrats already have an uphill battle in keeping their very narrow majorities. And so they're going to have to figure out other ways to engage their base. But a big question when I talk to strategists in both parties is, does the average voter care that much about Senate rules changes to pass legislation? Do they understand what that is? And are they connecting that to the voting bill?
That's Wall Street Journal politics reporter Eliza Collins. Eliza, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, it's a new year and many people have a long laundry list of things they want to change. Some may want to shed a few pounds or perhaps save more money. Others may be prioritizing their mental health. One way to do that is through a daily gratitude practice. The idea behind practicing gratitude is to set aside a few moments to reflect on life. You can do it by answering journal prompts or free writing. Some people include meditation or workouts. How do some of the world's most successful people approach it? Our reporter Lane Florsheim has spoken with celebrities and executives for WSJ Magazine about their gratitude practices.
You know, what's really interesting is that everyone practices it in their own different way. Before Stephen King gets out of bed in the morning, he runs through just a mental list of everything he's grateful for. So does Tracy Ellis Ross. The musician Questlove writes a 15-item gratitude list every Sunday. And Nike CEO John Donahoe, you know, spends time meditating on questions like, what am I grateful for in the broad sense of my life? I mean, the benefits can be super concrete, things that we all want, like better sleep and lower blood pressure, and also just generally feeling happier than people who don't take the time to have this kind of practice.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.